And we are back. The morning show, Mountain Home Radio. Well, I'm ready. You can see Tommy aren't. I like that. Are you guys ready to go? Well, it's all good. We're, everybody's up. We're conscious. That's a good thing. And evidently, I've been remiss in my duties because they're going to be talking about something here in just a minute that's been hanging on my wall for a while, and I didn't introduce him. We need to complete that circle now, and I'm going to turn things over to Seal Gasecki. And I've been asking you for a while now, do you have a particular flower of the month? I had no idea it was hanging on my wall.
Yes, Tommy pointed out to him that our plant of the month, which is a coneflower, is hanging on the wall right behind
him. Well, in my defense, I cannot see that except for like a half inch of the picture because I have a monitor in my way. Okay.
Good story.
That's
I'm
a good
sticking
excuse.
To it, Tommy.
Okay. We're going to talk about coneflowers today. Everybody knows the purple coneflower pretty much. It's a native plant.
Right.
You see it along the roadsides here coming up pretty quick.
Yes, you do.
All right. And it's a good sturdy plant for the garden. Deer tolerant, drought tolerant, everything tolerant.
Okay.
Takes full sun, takes the heat,
yes.
The whole business.
Loves the heat.
Yes, it does. They say it gets 2 to 5 feet tall, but I don't think I've ever seen one quite
yeah,
that high.
I've seen about 4, about the tops of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little taller than I remember them, but in any case, it's what they say. Foot and a half to 2 feet wide.
Okay.
Comes back every year pretty regularly.
Yep.
It's known for the seed pods in the center, which are kind of bristly like a cone.
Yep.
And if you keep those, if you cut those cones off, it'll make a neater plant. You don't have to cut them off, though, to keep it blooming. It blooms a long time, okay. But it looks a little better if you do. But
yes.
as the season wanes, you want to leave those on because the seeds are in between all those prickly little cones.
Gotcha.
And if you keep them up during the winter, you'll see finches and stuff coming picking at those seeds.
Yep.
Cut them down at the end of the season. Coneflowers, they've done a lot of breeding with many different varieties and colors in the last few years. Some of them are a little difficult to come back. You got to kind of be careful which one. There's some beautiful ones, but I have spent a lot of money on coneflowers that didn't come back. I have found that the Cheyenne Spirit series mm-hmm. is one that comes back pretty regular,
okay.
pretty consistently. And it has colors in the bronze, red, yellow type.
All right.
They're called Sunrise, Sunset, and Tomato Soup,
okay.
which is obviously a red one.
Right.
Those do real well. Mm-hmm. And I last year bought one called Sombrero Hot Coral, which came back this year, which is pretty good given how cold winter that we had, low temperatures we had. Great flower for the garden. Use it as an accent. Use it as a centerpiece. Any place that you have tough conditions, it'll stand up to them.
Gotcha. I was going to say, the success that I've seen with that seems to be in sort of the tougher climates, tougher environments for it to take root in. Generally, those things will grow there when some other stuff won't.
Yeah, definitely it will. It'll grow in good soil, but it'll also grow in very well in
right.
poor soil.
Gotcha.
It'll take all the tough conditions. It'll take the heat. It'll take the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
The deer won't like it because of the bristly cones.
Right.
It attracts the burrs with the seeds mm-hmm. in there, so it's a good all-round plant for
okay.
the garden.
Now, you said something there about some of the plants maybe not being as successful. Is that a zone thing as much as anything, a region thing, or is it just maybe some colors just aren't quite there yet as far as the development?
No, I think it's more that in some of the breeding, they've lost some of the hardiness.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
And that's why I say I'd be real careful. I don't hesitate to try something.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't buy the $30 version. Buy the $12 version because you take a chance and find out.
I think you choked Tommy after
a second. Seriously, I love them. I've tried many different varieties. I've had a couple that I just fell in love with because they were a little bit unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine and I one day bought one, and it died before the season was over.
Oh, no.
I just, you know, and you can say, well, maybe I didn't do something, but she's a better gardener than me, and so she lost hers too. So
okay.
it does happen. I do try a lot of new varieties,
right.
and these are the ones that I have found
okay.
and that I have found written up that are more consistent to come back. There is a problem with some of the breeding where they've lost some of the hardiness.
Gotcha. Any particular place you would recommend somebody would go to find those?
You can certainly find them online. You
okay.
probably find purple coneflowers at most of your garden centers
right.
if you shop early. This time of year, you're kind of late.
Season, yeah.
Yep. But certainly you can find them online if
okay.
you're looking for something. And early in the season, if you're out and about, I do a lot of traveling for plants. I buy
right.
here, but I also buy in Springfield, and I buy in Fayetteville.
You
and,
buy wherever
and,
they've got plants.
In
on
Little
site.
Rock. And I was in Grant Park, Illinois, which is in the middle of no place 2 weeks ago, and still found something to bring home.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not surprised to hear that at
yep,
all.
Yeah. So when you're out and about, it's a good thing to look. Just be sure you're looking at zones and all that good
gotcha.
stuff, because when you're in Illinois, it's not the same
not
as here.
Not quite the same. Now, I do need to ask the next question. Is it getting a little late in the year to plant those? Can we still get them in the ground and get some good growth out of those this year?
You know what? With the heat right now, mm-hmm. you can certainly plant, and I have, but it's right. something you're going to have to really babysit.
Okay.
I wouldn't put something in the full sun right,
right.
this minute with the heat,
yep.
but I have planted an odd variety of elderberry just last week.
Okay.
Planted it with some little bit of shade, and I'm watching it every day.
Right.
All right, you can do it, but it's something you're going to have to really babysit, and you're taking a chance this time of year.
Yep.
But if you wait a couple of weeks...
Yep.
You buy something and baby it in a pot where
right.
it's protected, and then actually plant it when the weather's a little mm-hmm. more favorable. You might
maybe,
be
maybe in good shape.
Yep.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. Well, tickle to death. We'll look at that. That coneflower is one of my wife's favorites, so I may give her some news and say, hey, you might want to try these out there. That being said, there's been a lot of stuff going on across the area as things are reopening, and one of the things you guys told me this morning before we ever came on the air put a little more smile on my face, and you guys may have realized you guys are allowed to meet live and in person once again.
We are, and we're excited. We had our first meeting last week, and mm-hmm. we had a fantastic one. Steve Brunwick talked to us about monarch butterflies, but our next meeting is going to be July the 8th. It's going to be at 1 p.m., and it's going to be at the fairgrounds. And we socially distance. We go in there, and there's plenty of room to spread mm-hmm. out, and it's going to be fantastic. And this, we're going to actually have a guy by the name of Cody McKee. He's the parks foreman for Mountain Home. He has been super good to us.
Guy,
he
yes.
has really been nice to us and helping us out with various projects. And it just he loves it. He's got his own 30-acre orchard. So this guy's going to be fun to listen to. He's going to be a good guy to know and to be on our team. Then after that, we're going to start our meetings back at the Presbyterian Church. So we're kind of getting back to the real world, and everybody's loving it. We're all getting out and are doing our activities as far as work projects around. So, trying to anyway.
Right.
So anyway, it's fun. We're kind of getting back to the quasi-norm. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer.
Now, I'd have to tell you, I made a typo on that. It's Wednesday, July 7th.
7th, I'm
meeting.
Sorry. I'm
no,
sorry.
It's not your fault. That's my fault.
That was the gasp. not very often you see a guest just have a moment of panic and it just flashed across your head. That's all good. You already had it handled. So that is going to be Wednesday, July the 7th.
Yes, we're usually on Thursdays, and when we get in August, we'll be back on the second Thursday of the month back at the Presbyterian Church. But
because you had a change of venues.
Because of the change of venues, we have to work around. I believe they're having court in session over there at the fairgrounds.
That sounds right, yeah.
And that's why we're on Wednesdays. But it's Wednesday, July 7th, is we're going to have Cody there. So
gotcha.
Public is welcome. Come
yep.
join us. We'd love to have you. Bring your own refreshments. Right now, we're not serving refreshments for obvious reasons.
This is going to be something you're going to have to bring your own snack and drink with you for this meeting, because you still can't do that, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That broke my heart the other day, because usually that's where I go to eat. But these ladies are great, great cooks, but they looked at me and they knew I was having a hard time over there, but it was fun.
Well, you know, over there you're close enough to Cove. There's five or six things you're close enough to. You could have gotten yourself
something. I haven't lost any weight during this time, so anyway.
throw out that number that you threw out this morning, the average weight gain for COVID, because that's sort of blew my mind.
19 pounds. I heard that on the coming in here this morning on your station.
Yep.
They were talking about the average gain was 19 pounds. They said that's the reason they called it COVID-19. But anyway, absolutely amazed me. It didn't surprise me that we had a weight gain, but I had 19 pounds.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm sorry. You said that about you didn't lose a pound over there. Well, it was COVID. You shouldn't have lost any weight. I'm tickled to death you guys were able to get together live and in person once again. And I know the meeting was one that is a fan favorite may not be right, because I don't know if there's any fans of things. You guys had a butterfly expert in there, and Seal, you told me a story about one of his little offspring. He raises butterflies, but it's always fun to have these experts come in there and talk about their field and give you guys some information on what it does to benefit you in your own garden.
Without a doubt, the butterflies, absolutely. The butterflies, the bees, all those
mm-hmm.
pollinators, that's what you
pollinators,
need.
Pollinators, yes.
You will not have tomatoes and you will not have pumpkins
yep.
without the pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really do need to. The monarchs particularly are endangered.
Yes.
Populations are way, way down. I don't have the figures handy, but it's staggering.
Yeah.
All right. So definitely you want to plant some butterfly weed
mm-hmm.
for specifically for the monarchs.
Yep.
But any plant that attracts pollinators, you really want to put them in the garden. You're helping the environment by doing it, and just pick one that you like.
Well, your talk, it may have been 2 years ago now, you were talking about the butterflies at some point earlier, and it was one of the few times my wife, she doesn't listen to me, she doesn't listen to me on the radio, but that said, she heard a little bit of the information, so she's actually changed my daughter's landscaping a little bit and put some more flowers in over there, and the number of butterflies we've seen in the yard this year, it has her just absolutely tickled, and of course, the grandson got to follow one around for about 20 minutes trying to just watch where it went.
Cool.
Sort of. That's cool.
Well,
that
he
is.
He wasn't solidly behind it for 20 minutes. A five-year-old kid, they do get distracted. But watching it flower around the backyard, the pollinators are something we do need in this area. And some of these plants you guys are talking about just make everything better for everybody else, too.
Without a doubt. Enjoy them for their beauty, but pick something that you enjoy for its beauty that's also good for the environment, because it will help you eventually.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Mm-hmm. The butterfly stuff. So we've got, what's Cody going to be talking about this next visit? Do you know?
Well, at the next meeting?
The next meeting, yes.
He's going to be talking about the park districts and the improvements they're going to have.
Okay.
And he also has a background in running an orchard.
Yes.
So we will get some pointers on fruit and fruit production.
Okay. Well, I knew he had the orchard, and I didn't know what the meeting was going to be about, so I sort of was hoping you guys were going to fill that one in. So we're going to be talking about some of the park projects and the improvements going on there. So I'm looking for a lot of great information to come out about that. Go ahead.
One cool story about
Tommy
monarchs.
Raised his hand in class.
I did raise my hand. I spent my summers in Kingsville, Texas, which is down in South Texas.
Yep.
And the monarch butterflies actually migrate through there. And I used to see tons and tons of them as a little kid. And I thought that was the norm. And then I found out, that's just a place that they go through.
Yep.
And they're heading to a place like northeast of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And they all end up, not all of them, but a big part of them go to this one little small area with these protected trees. And anyway, as a little kid, it was a sight to see.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, some of those memories, too, from your childhood seem to grow a little bit in there.
Well, they're also concerned about the habitat there.
Yes.
Two of the gentlemen that were administrators for the reserve where the butterflies go to were murdered because they were hindering people that wanted to cut down trees.
Right, yeah.
So it's definitely a big issue.
Oh, yep.
And we lose them, we lose something valuable.
Well, we don't realize the damage we've done to the pollinator process. We're starting to see a little bit of that in crops. I want to change the subject really quickly before we go to break and talk about some of the parks projects, because I know Callisto Willette is out there. Are you guys able to get back to all your facilities?
Oh, my goodness. We've been working at them since February. We've been open to work.
Oh, work on them just full bore. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. We've been out there working. You've seen the.
I have seen the one down here at the corner of 5 and the main drag here through town. And
you know what we're going to do? I haven't
Oh,
the.
Oh, boy.
I did talk to Judy Nazoliak, who's the brains behind that project, and asked her permission. And I don't know how we're going to do this, but we'll figure it out. We're going to have a contest to name that dude.
Oh, cool.
Okay, I think, yes.
Okay.
All right, I haven't figured out how we're going to do if we do it at the seminar or something else. But
we will talk about that at some point when we have more ideas on that. So if
yes.
you have an idea on how to name them, maybe a contest suggestion, can they drop a line to Master Gardeners?
Absolutely.
Website?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so there you go. If you got an idea on how to name that one, you know, I've seen it. I've seen a lot of really creative names for items out here. I actually saw the new snowplow in Denway that they christened, and Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Gravel Distribution Machine. but it's just some of the names are fun. So I'll be tickled to death to see what kind of name they come up with for our friend there on the corner.
We think it's going to be the Scott Ramos grandson park award.
Well, covered, it's the biggest thrill every time we drive past that, just seeing what is on that corner.
Yep.
And when you have a 5-year-old that pays attention to something consistently, you've made an impression.
They're going to have a good display for the 4th of July there.
Judy does a fantastic job.
She does.
During Veterans Day, she had the coolest one. But it was Thank Our Veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like your grandson. I stop every time I go by there and take a photograph.
Yep.
And that was one of my favorites. And then she just had the honeybees. She had these bees, and she was telling me, that wasn't real easy making those bees and putting them on that tree.
I was going to ask about that one, but I didn't figure that was appropriate for all audiences, because it might have been some adult language.
But But she just does a good job. Yeah. That's really a great project, and it gets so much visual because it's right across from the sheriff's office, so it's right there on 62B.
Yep.
So drive by and look at it sometime. It's a little bitty. It's by far our smallest project, but it's probably the most viewed of all of our projects.
Or do like Tommy does, pull in the extension office, get out of the car, walk down in front of it, and take a photo.
That's what Tommy does every time, but you obviously seen me because that's what I do.
Well, I might have heard a rumor once or twice, Tommy. So, that being said, we do need to take a quick little break. And we are back. The Morning Show, Mountain Home Radio. I've got Seal and Tommy in the studio with me this morning. I'm not going to try the last names after the Seal, there's always so many things you guys have notes for that we don't ever get to talk about. What's up in the world of Master Gardeners right now? I know it's summertime. You guys are a little bit busy with projects here, there, and everywhere.
Well, we've got the fair coming up. We'll talk more in detail about it, but get your plants ready. The fair is in late August.
So we are going to have fair entries this year.
Yes, absolutely. Right. We're doing it, the whole business. And myself and Susan Chamberlain and Janelle Stuckey are in charge this year.
Okay.
There's three of us, which will make sure it runs fair, because neither of the three of us have done this before, but we'll overcome
that.
You
will muddle through it together, yes.
But anyway, this time of year, you got to worry about deer. The deer, the babies are born, they're coming out, and they're in the yard, and they're doing their thing. And I have the littlest baby I've ever seen that wants to lay down in my yard. Scared him up the other day when I was watering.
Okay.
And he ran up and went right back to my back garden where the hostas are and said, I think I'll take a bite before I run away.
So those are the ones that Tommy's been raising
this year. No, I still have mine.
But I got to tell you, last year I told you all that a good repellent for a short term is garlic. Mm-hmm. And I had taken leftover garlic as you cook with it and thrown the debris in around daylilies and such that they like.
Okay.
And evidently two of them rooted and grew.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize they were there.
Okay.
And I went out of town, sprayed everything with my regular deer repellent, and it promptly rained the next two nights.
Right.
And I've got an area that's probably about 40 foot wide with six different daylilies.
Okay.
Three of them big plants and three little plants. The three little plants, they left one bud each on two of the three.
No.
The three big ones, they ate all of them off of one, but the other two they didn't touch, and they were the ones the garlic was growing in front of.
Aha.
Now that garlic was growing, so it still had enough aroma where they were
okay,
and they didn't touch them, and they certainly have in the past, so
it
will work for a while.
Okay.
Again, if you put it out there, the aroma doesn't last,
all right,
but and I'm not saying you want to necessarily grow garlic next to daylilies, but it does work if you do.
Well, I was going to ask, is that a compatible crop next to a daylily, because I know we're finding out some crops don't have any problems growing near others.
That's not one way that'll hurt each
okay.
other. You don't want to put your green beans by your onions because you won't
right.
get any green beans. That's true.
So all Tommy's right. probably going home and putting an entire fence line of pot out there to keep his hostas safe.
Okay.
So.
Tommy's probably going home and watering again today.
Yes.
And that's
there
what you guys
go.
All
very
need
important
to be
this
doing.
Time of year, yes.
Need to be doing. We all got spoiled with all the great rain we had in the spring and late spring. It hadn't rained, guys,
nope.
And if you haven't checked your plants, you better get out there and check them, because I promise my sprinkler was on all day yesterday, or
mine
most of the
too.
Day yesterday.
Last couple days.
And get out there and check your plants, because it is dry, 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 and you just gave the weather forecast, and there's
yep.
a little bit of help later on, but
well,
that's later on. So
we're
and it's funny you mentioned that about weather forecasters. My wife and myself have figured out we want to be weather forecasters, because you make a good living and you don't ever have to be right.
That's right.
These
That's
guys,
right.
this has been an interesting year for those
yes.
guys. They have gotten more wrong than they have right, I think.
It's
but
still
anyway.
Just educated guesses.
Yeah, educated
mm-hmm.
guesses. But anyway, but
yeah.
but do water, and particularly if you have pot plants. I have a bunch, and make sure you water those guys.
Okay.
And the smaller the pot, the more you got to water.
Right.
So that's nature of the beast.
At the risk of starting a small civil war, I'm going to ask this next question. Should you water your stuff in the morning or in the evening? Because I've asked a few folks and I get wildly different answers.
Well, the books will tell you to water in the morning, but for some people, that's not practical
exactly.
either because
yep.
of their lifestyle
their schedules, yes.
or
yep.
because they just have more than can accomplish in
but
the morning.
But you got 40 acres of stuff, and Seal just can't do everything all at once.
Yes, there you go. All right. So I try to water in the shade in the heat of the day, because if you water in the where it's pure sunshine in the heat of the day, you stand to lose some right. burn. You can yep. get some burn. But yep. And you don't want to water your roses late in the day because you will encourage mildew. But yes. beyond that, it's more important, in spite of those things, to just plain old water. If yep. you don't just have a choice, exactly. just water them. It's yep. more important to do that and live with a little mildew.
And one little tip from my grandfather years and years ago, never spray city water on leaves if you can help it. Roots is fine, but keep that city water off the leaves if you can. It just keeps a little bit of that brown stuff from growing on your leaves.
It's better to water from below. It's yes. not always practical.
Do what you need to do. But
do
yes,
what
you
need
can.
To do. If you can, to water yep. from below, definitely. It'll help your tomatoes. It'll yep. help your roses. Do I do it? No.
Gotta water. Gotta
on that
water.
Note, I'm going to give you some rules, but I don't follow them myself. We've got to get on out the door. Thank you guys for everything. No line over there at the drive-thru at Hardy's. Stop on by, grab yourself some breakfast. I'll be there here in just a moment. That being said, CEO Tommy, thank you for everything. I'm out the door. That'll wrap things up for us here today, but I will be back with more tomorrow. Have yourselves a great hump day.